ends with the Apostle Paul encouraging his son in the gospel, Timothy, to be strong in the grace of our Lord. And then he goes on and he says, the things that you've learned of me and heard of me, he said, I want you to commit them to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. And then he gets down into this section here where he began to tell Timothy about this Christian walk, if you will. And he uses three things that would be familiar to him. Three word pictures, I call them word pictures. He talks about a soldier, and he talks about an athlete, and then he talks about a farmer. That word husbandman means a farmer. These three pictures he uses to illustrate what it takes to be faithful to our God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about three requirements, because I believe unless these things are met, we'll never truly be faithful in our service to God. We need to have these things as a part of our lives. Timothy was an evangelist who was left in Ephesus to work with the church there. But these things that he says to Timothy, they're not only good, I believe, for an evangelist or for a preacher, but they're also good for each one of us who are children of God and who would seek to please God. So I want us to look at these three things that he uses and says to Timothy, and hopefully we'll be able to, to apply them in our lives so that no matter what our function in the body, in the church is, it will certainly help us to be faithful. Three requirements for faithful servers. Looking at the first verse that Brother Terrence shared with us, in verse number 3 of 2 Timothy 2, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say endure hardness as a soldier. Y'all notice that? He says endure hardness as a good soldier. So I believe that must be a difference between just a soldier and a good soldier. He said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we'll be talking about some things that are necessary in order for us to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. But again, he says, endure what? Hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. So, good soldiers, and soldiers for that matter, endure hardness for their country. They go through some things for their country. And many of the things that they go through are things that really, really test them, really try them, and are really, many times, difficult for them. But because they are doing it for the good of the country, they go through those things. Shouldn't Christians then, shouldn't we be the same type of individuals? We're doing it not necessarily for the good of the country, but we're doing it for the cause of Christ and for the good of our souls. So whatever it is that we have to go through that may lend itself to hardness, to difficulties, to trials, to suffering, and Paul talks so much about suffering in his letters when he wrote to the churches, whatever we go through, we should be willing to endure these things for the good of our souls. Because after all, as we talk about faithful service, we were reminded of what Jesus says in Revelation 2:10. He says, "Be thou faithful unto death." And that statement comes behind him saying, "You're going to have to suffer." The first part of verse 10 says, "You're going to suffer." But he says, in spite of your suffering, he says, "Be faithful unto death. And I'll give you a crown of life." So in spite of the hardship that we go through in this life, as being a child of God, it is necessary for us, if we're going to be faithful unto death, we're going to have to endure it. Now, these things will really test us. They will really test us, but we got to somehow muster up the spiritual energy to endure it. And you know how we can do that? Is to depend on Christ. Paul said to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, we may think that we're strong because we go to the gym every day, but that's physical strength. We'll never be able to get through the troubles and the trials and the cares of this life that are pressed upon us by our physical proudness. It takes some spiritual strength in order to get through these things. So we must endure hardness as a good soldier. So then, a Christian then should be willing to suffer hardship, number one, for the gospel of Christ. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, beginning, he says, "So God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In verse number 8, he says, "Be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of" what? "The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Be a partaker of the afflictions, of the sufferings of the gospel. So in being a child of God, there is some suffering that's going to come our way. We are reminded of what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So there are going to be some afflictions that come our way. But Paul says, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And then we must be willing then to endure hardness and suffering for the kingdom of God. Just by being a child of God, we need to stand up and be counted and not allow, again, the things of this life to distract us and pull us away from our main task. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 10 through 12. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, persecution for righteousness' sake does not always have to come in the form of someone physically attacking you. It can come with somebody just shunning you because of your stand for the truth. It can come in the form of somebody ridiculing you for your stand for the truth. It can come in the form of somebody perhaps talking about you, saying bad things about you because of your stand for the truth. Brother Travis, he's a Christian. He won't go and party with us, so we're going to drag his name through the mud. That's a form of persecution. So no matter what they do to us, no matter what they say about us, we must stand for the truth. That's being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So be willing then to endure whatever come our way for righteousness' sake. Jesus goes on and says in verse number 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." That's what I've just talked about. "When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12 says this, "Rejoice and be" what? "Exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What is he talking about? He's talking about enduring hardness. He's talking about being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. He's talking about suffering for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the kingdom and for the cause of righteousness. Christians then need to be people who are willing to endure hardness. That's one of the requirements for being faithful. Because if you cannot endure hardness, you're going to give up on Christ. And therefore, you won't any longer be faithful. But again, we're trying to be faithful all the way until what? Death. Not until tomorrow, but until death. Now, if death comes tomorrow, all well and good if we are pleasing in God's sight. So we must hang in there all the way unto death. That's a requirement for being faithful. So we must endure hardness as a good soldier. So a good soldier then endures hardness. But not only does a good soldier endure hardness, but something else about a good soldier. A good soldier must remain focused on the mission. And you and I, as soldiers of Christ, we must remain focused on our mission. Notice what he says again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. First part of that verse, he says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. If you get all wrapped up in what's all happening to you, you get all wrapped up in the affairs of this life, you're going to become distracted. I'm going to become distracted from what my main mission is. So I must remain focus. I must remain concentrated on the task at hand. We must be focused individuals. Otherwise, we will never bring forth fruit to maturity that the Lord expects us to bring. You notice when Jesus gave that parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8, and when he began to explain this to the disciples, in verse number 14 in Luke chapter 8, he says this, And that, which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are what? Choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit unto perfection. And we know what Jesus said about if you don't bring forth fruit, in John 15, you know what he says? Every branch that beareth not fruit does what? You're going to be cut off? Do we want to be cut off? I know we don't want to be cut off. We want to eventually have that eternal life. We've got to bring forth fruit to perfection. In order to do that, we got to remain focused. So he says, the ones that fell among thorns, they get all wrapped up with the cares, with the pleasures, and with the riches of this life, and they bring forth no fruit to perfection. Don't let things distract you. That's one of the main tools that the devil uses, things that will distract you. He don't care about you being a child of God. What he cares about, you being faithful to a God. So as long as he can distract you, he knows that you will not be faithful to your God. And if you're not faithful, if I'm not faithful to my God, he knows that if I leave this life like that, I'm going to be in trouble with him burning in the lake of fire. He wants all the company he can get. I say to you this morning, don't let the devil use things to distract you. Do things happen in our lives? Yes. But don't let them distract you from what your mission is. Remain focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a good soldier remains focused. He doesn't let things distract him. Not only does a good soldier remain focused, but a good soldier remains devoted. He's devoted. And Paul says this in the latter part of verse number 4. He says, again, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If we are not focused on what the Lord wants us to do and remain focused on what the Lord wants us to do, we'll never please him. Now, it is he that has called us. Remember in Matthew chapter 20, many are called, few are chosen. The Lord calls us, but he chooses them that will render obedience to him. Now, since he has called us by the gospel, of course, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, he's called us. We have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we must remain focused on our calling in order that we will please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a good soldier then, he doesn't get wrapped up in the affairs of this life. And the reason why he doesn't do that, because he want to please him that has chosen him, has chosen him to be a soldier. So we cannot then become distracted and get all wrapped up in the things of this life in order that we can please our Father. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9. Verse 8, he says this. Notice what he says. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then verse 9, he says this. Wherefore, for this reason, he says, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted of him. Now, when will we be accepted of him? When we please him. So if we don't please him, we're not going to be accepted of him. So again, this good soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him that has chosen him as a good soldier. So we cannot again get all twisted and allow things to pull us away from Christ, because if we do, we'll never please him. But if we are devoted to him, if we recognize that that's my mission and I'm going to maintain my focus upon my mission, I'm going to be devoted to him, I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to let the devil pull me away, because I want to please God. I want to please Christ. So Paul says, we are laboring, we are working, whether we are present or absent, that we may be accepted by him. And Paul, in his prayer, he prayed for the Colossian Christians. And he prayed like this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk, what? Worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. Paul wanted these Christians to walk worthy unto all pleasing. You and I ought to have that aim to walk worthy in all pleasing. Not in some pleasing, not trying to please the Lord in some areas, but in every area of my life, I need to be trying to please the Lord. You need to be trying to please the Lord. We're going to trip up and make mistakes, yes. That's what repentance is all about. But our objective ought to be to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful, Paul says, in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So to be a faithful worker for the Lord, to be faithful to the service of our Lord, to be faithful to the Lord, number one, we're going to have the dedication of a soldier. Secondly, this morning, as we look at these word pictures that Paul use. Verse number 5. Notice what he says. And if a man also strive for mastery. This is the athlete now. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive how? Lawfully. Except he follow the rules of the game. And do you not know the child of God got some rules of the game? And I'm not literally saying that the Christian life is a game, but I'm putting it in the context of the athlete who is striving in the games. There are rules for you and I, and you and me, I should say, to follow. And Paul says now, if we're going to be faithful to the service of our God, we're going to have to strive just like this athlete strives lawfully. They're going to have to play by the rules. Otherwise, they'll never get the crown that they're striving for. We got to play by the rules. We got to walk by the rules. Paul even said to the Philippian Christians that we all need to walk by the same rule. He's talking about striving lawfully. You don't have one way to strive, and I have another way to strive. We all have one way to strive, and that is strive according to what God has said to us all. And God doesn't say different things to different people. He says the same thing to each one of us. And we can sum it all up. If we are striving lawfully, we must be obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So not only then is it required that we have the dedication of a soldier, but it is required that we have the discipline of an athlete. An athlete knows and understands that if he expects to win, or if he expects to get the mastery or the crown or the reward for his participation in the games, he knows that he's got to strive according to the rules. So he's got to discipline himself, or she's got to discipline herself, to make sure that they strive according to the rules of whatever the game is they're participating in. We've got to have that same discipline if we expect to be crowned successfully in the end. Jesus said it like this when he gave his marching orders to the apostles in Matthew chapter 28. Beginning at verse number 18, he says, "All power, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go," he says, "and make disciples of all nations." In verse 20, he says, "teaching them to observe all things," that's the rules, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, we are under obligation then to observe all the things that are applicable to us that he commanded the apostles to teach. So we got to strive to bring our lives in compliance. I use that word, compliance, with what Jesus has taught us to obey. He says, love, we got to love. He says, forgive, we got to forgive. He says, share, we got to share. He says, worship in spirit and in truth, we got to do that. Whatever it is that he says for us to do, we got to strive to do it. Otherwise, just like this man who's running in the games, if he doesn't strive according to the rules lawfully, he'll never be crowned. So we've got to have the discipline. We've got to bring ourselves to say that whatever you say, Jesus, that's what I'm going to do. And I know sometimes it goes against the grain, but we've got to bring ourselves, discipline ourselves against. If that's the requirement, I got to do it. I got to do it. Y'all remember what Jesus' mother said to her servants in the book of John chapter 2, I believe it is. You know what that, when the wine ran out? She said to her servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Don't question him. Don't question him. Just do it. Sometimes we find ourselves questioning what the Lord says. Don't question it. Just do it. But it takes discipline to do that. So we got to have the same discipline that the athlete have if we expect to be crowned in the end. Jesus said it like this when he wrote through the inspired man by the name of James. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We got to be doers of the word. Jesus said it, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So it takes discipline then for us to abide by the rules. And Paul says, we got to do that if we expect to be crowned lawfully. So the soldier then, or rather the athlete, realizes that if he's going to be crowned, he must strive lawfully. In other words, he must obey the rules. And in obeying the rules, as we talk about discipline, it means that we got to have some self-control. And that's perhaps what gets the most of us, is because we can't control ourselves. I want to get you in spite of what the Lord has said because you got me. But if I can just control myself, then I can realize that the Lord will take care of you. You want to get me in spite of what the Lord said for you to do because I got you. But you got to get to the point where you got to control yourself and realize that the Lord will take care of me. But the problem so many people have, they just cannot control themselves. I got to get you. You're not going to get away with that. I got to get you. So we got to discipline ourselves and have some self-control. Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run ye, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. He has self-control. When it's time for that athlete to get up and practice, he gets up and practice. You know, he eats right. She reads right. She gets up when it's time for her to do that. They know they got to do that, so they control themselves in order to do that. He says, I therefore, or rather, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep on the my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified. No athlete wants to get disqualified so that they won't be able to participate in the games. No Christian should want to get disqualified so that they won't be able to continue to run the race for Christ Jesus. But when we don't have self-control, when we want to just get up when we want to get up as the athlete, when we want to just eat what we want to eat, when we want to go to practice when we want to go to practice, when we want to live right when we want to live right, without controlling ourselves to know that we just can't pick and choose what day of the week we're going to live right. We got to live right every day. It takes self-control to do that. Otherwise, we'll get disqualified and we won't get the crown. So, in order to remain faithful or to be faithful in the service of God, we got to have the dedication of a soldier, the discipline of an athlete, and thirdly, in verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this, the husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. What does a farmer do? A farmer works. A farmer works. The farmer knows that if he doesn't, and I have, in this day and time, you got to say he and she, he or she. He or she, they know that if they are in the farming business, they're going to have to work. Because plants, I don't care whether it's cotton, corn, sweet potatoes, peanuts, whatever it is, they don't just plant themselves. You got to get out there and plant the seed. And if you don't work those plants, And I know they don't work them now like they worked them when I was on the farm, Travis. They got all these chemicals and stuff that they go, but if you don't do all of that, you know what's going to happen? The weeds and the grass are going to take over. So the farmer, the husbandman, got to be diligent and be out there attending his farm, attending his plants, attending his crops. He's got to be a worker. Otherwise, he won't get any fruit. Christians got to be a worker. The Lord has called us to work. You remember when the parable was given in Matthew chapter 20? The man went out early in the morning to hire who? Laborers into his what? Vineyard. And he said the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is the church, brothers and sisters. The church is like this. That the Lord is calling people into his vineyard, into his kingdom, into his church to work. Not just to sit down, but to work. To be busy doing the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Whatever the Lord has for us to do. Live right? Yes. But to be involved in doing things to further the kingdom and the growth of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Winning souls, that's work. Helping those that are in need, that's work. Visiting, yes, that's work. The Lord expects us to be laborers. So the farmer knows that unless I get out here and work, I'll never be able to partake of the fruit. Because it ain't going to bear much fruit, if any. The weed's going to take over. I've got to get out there and work. Christians, if the farmer is motivated by this, shouldn't you and I be motivated as Christians to work in the kingdom of God? Because we have this as a motivational factor. Our labor is not in vain when we're working in the kingdom of the Lord. That's why Paul said as he began to close out, matter of fact, I think it's the last verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. Inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, does that motivate you to work? To do what God has called us to do? Working in his kingdom? Our labor is not in vain. And the Hebrew writer said it like this in Hebrews chapter 6, down by verse number 10, he says, God is not forget. He will not forget your labor. Thank God he will not forget our labor. You and I may forget what we do for one another, but God won't forget it. God will remember what we do for him. That's why Hezekiah, when he prayed that prayer back then, book of 1 Kings, he says, remember, Lord, the life that I've lived. God will not forget because he's keeping a record of what we do. So our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So a farmer then knows he's got to be a hard worker. He's got to be a diligent worker. Otherwise, he won't get the fruit from his labor. Paul said it like this. Romans 6, verse 22 and 23. He says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, what? Everlasting life. Is that what we want? We want everlasting life, don't we? How are we going to get it? By being faithful. By, again, having the dedication of a soldier. By having the discipline of an athlete. By having the diligence of that hard-working ethic of the farmer. If we want eternal life. So as we conclude then today, If dedication, if discipline, and if diligence is not a part of our makeup, it's impossible for us to be faithful. That's necessary. That's required for us to be faithful. No matter what comes in our lives, we got to be faithful. You know, when Paul was getting ready to close out his letter to Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, he says something like this over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, down about verse 7, I believe it is. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. What am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about requirements for faithful service. Paul says he kept the faith. That tells me he was a faithful servant of God. He didn't become distracted because he was dedicated. He didn't let things move him because he had discipline. And he kept on, and the next phrase he says, I finished my course. Why did he do it? Because he was diligent. He stayed in there. No matter what was thrown at Paul, he kept the faith. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you start reading down by verse number 23 and several verses following, you see all kinds of things were thrown at the Apostle Paul. He said, 5 times I was beaten of my countrymen. 5 times I received 39 lashes, but I stayed faithful. 3 times, he says, I was beaten with rods, but I stayed faithful. He says, goes on and he talks about he was in perils or in dangers of his countrymen, but I stayed faithful. I spent a night and a day in the deep, but I stayed faithful. I was in weariness, but I stayed faithful. I was hungry, but I stayed faithful. All kinds of things were thrown at Paul, but he stayed faithful. The reason why, again, he stayed faithful, because he was dedicated, he was disciplined, and he was a diligent soldier of the cross. So I'm appealing to all of us this morning, no matter what life throws at you, stay faithful. It's required that we remain faithful unto death if we want to have eternal life. If you're here then this morning, we sing a song just before I got up. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you're here this morning and you, prior to this morning, you hadn't decided to follow Jesus, you hadn't decided to make him your Lord and your Savior, and to give your life wholeheartedly to him through obedience, being a member of the church that he died for on the cross. If you're here this morning, I want to encourage you to give your life to Christ so that you can become that dedicated, that disciplined, and that diligent soldier of the cross. How do you do it? You do it by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, going down in the water of grave or baptism, being baptized for the remission of your sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. And then, no matter, as I said, what life throws at you, stay faithful. Stay faithful. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. And if there are those this morning who are already members of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament, but somehow you're not as dedicated as you ought to be, you're not as disciplined as you ought to be, and you don't have the diligence as you ought to, I want to encourage you to renew your effort, your walk with the Lord this morning. And if that's something that has distracted you and has caused you to go off into a way of sin, turn away from whatever it is. If you need to confess, do that this morning. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, we want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand, while we sing.
That weary, empty, Lord, all down.